Hello and welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit put on by the Public Speakers Association with our fabulous directors and members that will wow you and excite you and get you motivated. We are lucky today to have Ms. Kathy Loffman, one of my superior executive directors who helps run the Greater Houston chapters for the Public Speakers Association, and just a amazing, amazing woman. So you're about to be incredibly thrilled to hear Kathy talk. So Kathy, why don't you just go ahead and take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. You know, it's such a great privilege to be a part of PSA, and these telesummits are just a small part of that, but it really is my honor to be a part of this particular telesummit, and I've just been looking over the lineup over this past week, and oh my gosh, what an incredible lineup. It just gets better every time. But let me also say welcome to our listeners, whether you're listening live or you're catching us on a recording, on a replay. Just want to say welcome to you. Welcome to this telesummit, and welcome to the PSA if this is your first time catching one of our recordings. You know, before I get into my material for today, I do want to take a moment and just talk with you about the whole subject of being a speaker. I think it's important sometimes to just step back and look at that. I'm finding more and more that people that really, in reality, they are speakers. They don't recognize that about themselves. So I hope that even if you don't consider yourself a speaker, that you'll stay with me as we talk about some strategies for speakers. Because more than that you would hang around, I hope that you're going to look at these strategies when you hear them. You're going to recognize that within them, I'm actually revealing all the many different kinds of speakers all of us are. You know, none of us has just a single use of speaking in our lives and in our businesses. There are many for all of us. Because, you know, stop and think about this for a minute. Everybody, all of us, at some point, we're put in a position to inspire, influence, educate, persuade others about something. And when we're doing that, it's primarily about how we present information. All of those words reflect something about the strategy we're going to use as a speaker. So let's get started. One of the reasons I'm excited about the subject I'm going to be sharing with you today is because it's a place where recently I've just been seeing so many breakthroughs, not just for speakers, but for everyone. There's wonderful aha moments. And you know, this particular PSA telesummit, we're recording in November of 2014, so the timing really is great because 2015 just around the corner, and it's a great time to think about the possibilities. So what exactly are we talking about? We're going to be talking about what it means to be strategic, why that matters, and I'm going to share with you some really simple steps to make sure that you're leveraging the power of strategy as a speaker specifically, and then beyond, as you just look at the simple principles involved. I work as a master strategist and life coach, and when I do, a great deal of my work centers around helping people get clear about where they want to end up. And that's frankly where I've been seeing the breakthroughs. Everybody wants to go straight to the plan. And as a result, sometimes we find ourselves ending up somewhere we didn't really want to be. And we find ourselves woefully unprepared for disruptions along the way. I call it overplanning and underpreparing. And this is true whether we're talking about your life or a major segment of your life, such as your work. It's very true for us as speakers. You know, we have a vague idea of what we want. I mean, we want to be happy. We want to be successful. But we're not specific enough. You know, I don't know if you may know Arnold Glasgow, but he was new to me. So he's an American author and humorist. But I love this quote from him because he said it like this: in life, as in football, you won't go far unless you know where the goalposts are. And so that's really what we're going to be talking about. So for today, let's start by coming to a common understanding of what we mean when we use the word strategy, because it is one of those words that does get overused and abused, I think, sometimes. And it's really quite simple. When we are in strategy mode, it just means this: we begin with the end in mind. That's all strategy is, beginning with the end in mind. the most successful races begin at the finish line. And notice that it's not about having the end in sight. It's about having it in mind. But we still have to remember that that end is a very specific place. You know, we have a lot of technology today. And so when you, if you're flying going somewhere and you get on a plane, they've had all these things that have read your ticket. So they pretty much know you're getting on the plane that's going where it was you intended to go. But I'm going to date myself here a little bit and tell you back when we first started flying and we had all that, we didn't have all that technology. And they would stand at the front of the plane and they would, before the plane would take off, they would say, this plane is going to this place. If that place isn't in your travel plans, then you need to see the flight attendant. That's really a great example of, you know, if this isn't where you're trying to go, then maybe this plan isn't the right plan. So today what we're going to come away with here is a clear vision of what's possible for us and speakers in terms of the outcome. Once you know that, then the strategy path nearly writes itself because the markers are going to be there along the way. But before we get into the actual strategies, I also want to talk to you about why strategy matters beyond just helping us create a smarter, more productive plan. Why having that end in mind, why does that matter? Because there's three critical reasons why I think having that ending front of mind, why that makes such a difference. The first reason is about that polarizing word, no. We struggle with when to say it, and boy, do we struggle with how to say it, to ourselves and to others. As some of you may know, I spent a number of years in the supply chain logistics industry, and early in my career, I was asked to work in the area in the field of what we call compliance. For that, just read rules. What could we do? What couldn't we do? What situations held the highest risk? You know, all that boring stuff. Well, let me tell you, I can tell you that when you are associated with anything to do with compliance, ergo rules, you're not popular. In fact, you're not liked because you become the no cop. You have to tell people no. And some of the people that you have to say no to are also the people that sign your paycheck. So it's clearly not an easy job. So I decided to see and handle that situation differently. I decided to not be the person who said no. I decided to be the person that said how. My motto became, don't say no, say how. And my first success around strategic thinking led to a very different career than I would have had if I had just continued saying no. When I told them how, guess what? It holds a choice, quite often a sacrifice. But here's what happened. Once the price of yes was known, they generally came to know all on their own. It's a much better scenario, isn't it? So it's about when to say no, but it's also about how to say no. As a speaker, that can come into play about when to speak, where to speak, even what to speak about. If you know what you're working toward, and we'll talk about those five channels in just a minute, but when you know what you're working toward, it's much easier to see whether or not opportunities are right for you and whether or not you're right for that audience in that event. The key here is that you're going to know why you might potentially decline something before you do. And so you can approach those conversations with that value point instead of a negative, much as how I said, I'm not going to say no, I'm going to say how. It's the same thing. So when you're interacting with event planners, your concern for them and their event, that's going to elevate you to a completely different level than so many of the speakers they might work with. And then if you're able to recommend that perfect choice, that's even all the better. It's one of the great advantages of being a part of an organization like PSA. Instead of having to say no, you can say who. So as we wrap up our review of no, let's look to Michael Porter. He's a professor at the Harvard Business School. Many consider him to be the modern father of strategy. And here is his critical advice. The essence of strategy is choosing what not to do. So there you go. No is a big part of it. If you're strategic, it's about knowing what not to do as much as it is what you will do. So let's move on to the second reason that being strategic is helpful, because sometimes the work we need to do isn't fun. In fact, it can be hard and boring, but it has to be done and it takes some discipline. So we have to bear that in mind and keep that in mind. And I relate this to, like, if I'm to say I'm going to run a mile every day, and I don't put that in any kind of context to what I want to be at the end of it, I can guarantee you before long I'll not be running every day. But if I put that in some context, like, you know, I'm going to be running in a marathon or I'm going to do a walkathon that's for someone I care about and we're raising money for someone, that puts a whole different context around it. So, for example, my nephew Sam, when he was 2 years old, was diagnosed with brain cancer. Let me interject. He's now 4 and we're cancer-free and he's doing great. But, you know, everybody was scared and there's lots of finance issues and expenses. You know, when we were talking about doing all this for Sam, it really wasn't about getting up every day and walking. It was really about getting up every day and doing something for Sam. That kept that end being in front of mind. It's the ultimate value maker strategy, and it's what will pull you through. I like to think of it as something that turns our motivation, our end in mind, into like a magnet. It pulls us through instead of all those things that seem to brutally push us through. You know, Winston Churchill once said that it's not enough that we do our best. Sometimes we have to do what's required. And that's a part of what strategy will do, too, because when you know where you're trying to get to, you actually know what you need to do to get there, and it's going to be a great incentive for you. Alvin Toffler is an American writer, and he's a former editor of Fortune magazine, and he says it like this. You've got to think about the big things while you're doing small things, so that all the small things go in the right direction. So let's move on to the third reason why strategy matters, and that's that life happens. Sometimes those disruptions just happen. Sometimes they're big disruptions, you know, those big D's like death, divorce, disease. But it can also be little daily disruptions, like the car breaks down, or the plumbing, the toilet flow overfloods, and your power goes out. And Tanya and I were sharing right at the beginning of this that, you know, we were getting ready to go on air and record, and the lawn people show up. And so, you know, you have to juggle, and you have to be able to have some backup plans in place, and you've got to know how to respond to that. When you're strategically minded, you're able to deal with situations really quickly and keep them in perspective based on, you know, the size and of the crisis, obviously, and disruption. But you can go into that mode of being able to see them within the framework of everything else and what you're trying to get done. This is where I talk about being prepared, because you've developed skills and knowledge, and you've also developed your own, what I call, wisdom well of people and resources that you can draw from that will help keep you focused, not only just by helping you resolve the situation, but also find ways to use that situation to propel you even forward. Sometimes it's not about bouncing back, it's about bouncing over. And all the many, many times that can happen. You know, as a speaker, I've had days when everything that could go wrong. I'm late, I'm running behind, I get there, the audiovisual stuff doesn't work. But you know what? When we're strategic, it means we have contingencies in place. We don't overplan and underprepare. We get the balance right. One of my favorite quotes from former President Dwight Eisenhower is this. He said that in preparing for battle, he always found that the plans were basically useless, but planning, that had been proven to be indispensable, because that's where the contingencies come from. So there's the three basic reasons we should all be strategic. Having a know that's purposeful, having that context for the tough stuff, in order to stay productive, and having the resources we need to draw from when we need them as contingencies so we can keep our perspective in place. So with that in mind, now let's move on to what I really want to share with you is the meat of today, and look at these 5 strategic channels of speaking that can become your own starting point or maybe just an adjusted view of where you are and where you're headed. And again, these are 5 channels, and these are strategies for you as a speaker, how you might be leveraging speaking as a strategy in your work. The first and highest is, of course, to be a professional speaker. That might sound obvious, but since it's the highest, you know, we want to put that in there because that's the highest level in terms of the end game of speaking. There's a difference between having speaking as part of your marketing plan, as an example, and the fact that speaking is, in fact, your product. It's your mainstay in your current body of work. The second strategy is that you do leverage speaking as part of the services and products programs that you might offer to a client or customer base. That's close to the first strategy, but it's different. In the first strategy channel, you go to where the audience is, and they pay you to show up. in this strategic channel, they're paying you to provide them with knowledge, but they come to you, to your program, to receive it. A key point is that it's the same for both one and two, is that you're going to get paid for speaking. So strategy one, you go to them as the paid expert. Strategy two, they come to you as a paid expert. The third strategy is to have speaking as part of your marketing and business development planning. You might even do this kind of speaking before channels one and two. What's different? This speaking strategy isn't typically compensated directly. It's an indirect path to compensation. Maybe you're an author and you speak to help build your audience and platform of people that will buy your book. So speaking will lead to compensation, but it's indirect. Maybe you speak to groups in workshops and hold seminars and webinars that people pay you for. So you might speak ahead of that in an effort to fill your program with clients. But again, you're not getting paid for this particular message, but you do expect to convert some of the audience to paying clients in your programs. The fourth strategy is to have speaking as part of your community building. You're not selling anything directly or indirectly. You're just creating a market awareness of you and your platform. The point here is that there's a defined and desired result. There's still something you want to achieve. You must have a way of knowing if that work is productive. Typically, that might mean adding people to your list. It could be getting more social media connections. That audience is going to be highly valuable to you later on, going back up through the strategic channels we've talked about. But at this level, all you're trying to do is connect. And the fifth and final channel is about speaking on behalf of something or someone else. This can be a cause you represent, ongoing for a particular event, a testimonial you've been asked to give, any number of situations. But the key difference is that the desired outcome is not for you, it's for someone else. It's an important distinction because you need to know what they want so you can use that within your planning. What I hope is clear is that in each case, we've started with the end in mind. What do we want to happen as a result of our presentation? Think about that. Even if you're just doing a presentation in a sales meeting, what is your end in mind position? Now that you've got that, you need to consider what presentation path is going to best take you there. And that's the next part of strategy. Thinking of it like this, being above the maze. You know, we've all done the mazes, right? Think above the maze. And now you know where you are and you've identified your exit point. So now let's talk about which turns to take so you avoid those dead ends. And for that, let's go back to the beginning of when we started together today and bring back some of those strategy words. Inspiration, influence, incentive, education, persuade, position. And yes, to answer the question that always comes up here, yes, more than one can apply. But you need a primary focus for any given activity, and then secondary strategy should be there to support that primary. So let's talk about what that looks like, because that's just, you know, a lot of fancy talk there. But your primary might be to persuade a group to take a particular action. Let's say you're launching a new coaching program and you want to persuade your audience on a marketing webinar to enroll in the program. You would then need to choose one or two paths to that. What would be the most persuasive avenue for that program and that audience? Is education needed? Do you need to leverage credentials for influence? Is it a matter of inspiring them to action? What will get them to the yes? That is your strategic path. And because there will be more than one buying trigger in your audience, it's good to employ more than one strategy so that you can reach more people. You might decide because of your topic, it's going to be more effective to inspire as your primary. Maybe it's a more emotional transaction, and you know that's what's going to tip the decision in your favor. So to inspire, you might then bring in some incentives, you know, like if this and that, or even some influencing for social proof. I mean, think about presentations and speakers out there that focus on health programs and products. They want to inspire you to take action and buy their product. They influence you with before and after testimonies, and they incentivize you by giving you discounts. Start looking for the pattern in presentations where you're in the audience, and then determine which approaches work for you. And bear in mind, you could and should employ many combinations based on changes in your primary strategic channel. You know, am I speaking to get paid? Am I speaking to lead to being paid? Those channels, and then that's going to direct you. Just also remember this, that the idea is to integrate your approach with the desired end in mind, with what will also benefit your audience. You can chart a course that serves the audience even as you're serving your own strategic plan. What benefits the audience that works with what you need or want? This is the ultimate, what I call synergistic approach within strategic planning. And here's something important I think we all need to acknowledge today. It's not enough to just create a win-win anymore. It's just not enough. You have to be able to create an I win and you win-win-win, given the amount of choices that are available to everyone today. Brings a quote to mind for me that comes from Emerson that says it's one of the most beautiful compensations in life that no man can sincerely try to help another without helping himself. And that really is the crux of this. So step one, identify which of the five strategic channels a particular speaking activity falls under. Step two, identify which end strategy is your target desired result. And step three, identify which strategic approaches are going to deliver that desired result and provide some maximum benefit for that particular audience. As we begin to wrap up, let me share with you a couple of thoughts from some folks I consider, you know, worthy of note. First up is one of my favorite first ladies from right here in Texas, Barbara Bush. I love this quote from her. You just don't look into things as much as you'd think you might like to think you do. You build step by step, whether it's friendships or opportunities. That's so true for all of us in our lives and in our work. We don't just luck into success as speakers. We must be building step by step within the framework of a strategy that serves us as we serve others. And then from perhaps, you know, I consider one of the greatest motivators of our lifetime, Mr. Zig Ziglar, he had this to say, you were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win. And I would add one more to that is that you get to decide what win looks like. You know, I want to thank you for sharing your time with me today and joining us here on the PSA Telesummit. I hope the information I've shared helps you in your own strategic planning as a speaker and in your own life. And I'd like to invite you to stay connected. You know, the easiest way is to go to my website. That's McKinsey Circle, McKenzie Circle.com. Or you can just do my name, Kathy Laufman, KathiLaughman.com, and you'll find my social media links there. They're all there. Just choose the ones where you hang out and connect. That way I know we're connected where you want us to be. I'd also love for you to join my mailing list while you're there on the website. See, that's my strategy for today, community building. So I hope I've done my job and that you'll join my circle. What's in it for you? First is a free gift. Once you register, you receive a free gift. And beyond that, you're going to have access to information about upcoming programs and receive some nice discounts on them as well. And you'll have the opportunity to participate in some of my early reader programs and be a part of my books that are scheduled to come out in 2015. I'm pretty excited about those and would love to take you on that journey with me. So with that, Tanya, I'm going to give it back to you. I want to thank you again, all of you listening, for being a part of our Change the World PSA Telesummit for November of 2014. So back to you, Tanya.